Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, August 17th. We're back with you. Another great show coming up. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
You can start talking. You
Hello.
Don't have to wait for my permission.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no.
What
see,
up, y'all?
I never told Tori how to do this. So I sort of like threw her in the pool and you figure it out.
Yeah.
So there. So, well, good morning, everybody. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah, you in a good mood and everything?
Yeah, I did some stand-up last night.
Uh-huh.
It went very well.
Really? How long was your...
I had a seven-minute set, and man, you think 7 minutes is nothing, but it's long.
It's long, right?
It's long.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, so I had a great night last night, great time.
Good.
Yeah.
What are some jokes? I mean, you don't have to tell us the jokes, but what topics were you covering?
Basically, I talk about how I look a lot like Thomas Jefferson on the nickel. I mean, I do like very observant, like relatable jokes. I don't do long, hard concepts. So, and I'm very physical. So I do a big joke about apnea, which is funny. And then I have an intervention joke where I'm watching Intervention.
Mm.
You know that show about addiction?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like drinking some vodka and it's very funny. And then, it's a lot. The woman was addicted to airplane-sized vodka bottles.
Oh, okay.
And so I realized she was addicted to feeling like a giant and not like an alcoholic. It was so dumb. Anyway.
I guess you have to be there. But no, when you put the jokes together, it sounds funny, right?
Thank you. Let's
there you go. Right. Yeah. I would imagine you know what you're doing when you stand in front of an audience.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would look bad.
Yeah. And I've seen it, and it's not good to watch.
No. Not pretty.
Oh, God. There's nothing worse than like bad improv or bad stand-up when it's going terribly, and you're like, ooh.
I know. And sometimes you just go, he's not or she's not funny.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you try really hard to laugh, but there's nothing to laugh at, you know? And it's interesting. Did you ever, like, read into why we laugh and things like that? It's very interesting, you know? There's a lot of different reasons, obviously, you
know? That's very interesting.
But every time people laugh, I'm like, why are we laughing,
you know? And it's an odd, like, hiccup of the diaphragm that we do, just like, ha,
ha, ha, ha. Yeah, right?
Sort of an odd form.
I know, and we all sound different at it, yet you know when someone's laughing, you know?
I have a friend that, her name, I can't tell her name because she'll hear this, but she laughs like this, ha, 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 ha.
Really?
Every time.
Whoa.
And you're like, that's a lot of work. Like, to laugh so much. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. But we do love to laugh here on this show. So there you go.
There you go.
You guys can laugh out loud, do whatever the hell you want while we're here. In a few minutes, we're going to bring in our guest. And, of course, all our guests are special. You know, I always say we have a special guest, but they're all special, you know, in their own way. So there you go.
Except
special
that
to
one,
me.
Remember? No.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we tend to get great guests, and I love it. I love it when there's guests in the studio and stuff, you know.
You hear the Olympic athletes got robbed by gunpoint.
Well, that was a few days ago.
Yes, but guess what? Now they're not allowed to leave the country.
Right. They got, like, search warrants out.
Yeah, but now Ryan Lochte's, like, stuck.
Well, no, he's back in America already.
Oh, they said the judges ordered him.
Yeah, he did, but he's already in America, his lawyer
said. Did he swim away?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. But no, they said that once they're done with their competition, they go back.
Right.
Although I don't understand why. I mean, he must have known they would investigate him or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the judge just ordered them to stay, but it's interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's because they're saying they were seen on a video relaxed after the robbery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's what they're saying.
You're saying you smell something fishy.
Well, I'm not saying that. They're saying that. The judge is saying that. I don't know
why
the hell. Yeah,
interesting.
But maybe they just wanted to badmouth that country. I mean, why would they want to do that?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. A shakeup in the Trump's campaign. In the Trump campaign, rather, a new chief executive. That's a guy from Breitbart.
Yeah, Breitbart.
Right. And he's known to be quite firm in his views and things like that.
It's so. Totally going to work.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see. But you know what I was thinking? I mean, they still have debates coming up. You
they
never
sure
know.
Do.
But you know, we're like already counting our chickens, but it's not over yet.
No, and she, although over. She's 9 points ahead, things can change. But yeah. He had a bad couple of weeks where he couldn't get himself 4 days in a row of good press. He couldn't. He couldn't get 2 days. He couldn't get 1 day.
Right.
So I think obviously this. I'm very interested to see the debate.
Yeah.
I'm going to have like people that over.
Be, yeah, right?
Dress,
the party
people dressed
and stuff.
Up.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be, they have very different debate styles.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very fascinating to watch.
It will be. It will be. And I don't know what else they have in store for us in the next couple months. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Breitbart is sort of like a conservative Occupy Democrats mm-hmm. type of a thing, mm-hmm. which I sort of like banned on my feed because I don't want to say Occupy Democrats is too extreme for me. So, you know, even though I can stomach some Democratic posts, but not from Occupy Democrats. They're too in my face.
They're like my favorite. No,
I'm sure they are. I know. You know? Now, let me ask you this. Is your whole family liberal?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. So I guess when people are politically opinionated, it helps when you're all the same side, right?
Yeah. And we grew up in D.C. where my parents right. are still there, and it's very liberal. Like, it's 99% always, you know, going Democratic.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, California is like that, too. Yeah. Maybe that's why you moved here.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, also, I was going to have to date someone that was liberal, but they're... I wanted my in-laws to be liberal, which is hard because otherwise I was going to have very uncomfortable Thanksgiving dinners for the rest of my life.
Really?
So I found my in-laws are like, we call her Mama Obama. And I'm like, I love these people. But my father-in-law is more of a conspiracy theorist. So he's like cynical about the whole process.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
He's not interested. He's just, mm-mm.
But your parents are on the same side. You're on the same side.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that helps because, you know, I mean, some families or let's say most families don't really get into politics and stuff. So they don't care if they don't share the same views and stuff. But
yeah. And we'll debate. I'll debate my dad, my sister, my mom. We'll debate
really?
For, yeah, a strong
What do you have to debate?
Debate
if you're on the same side?
Oh, we'll go out. Like, for instance, my dad's probably a little bit more financially conservative than I am and probably more socially conservative and represents maybe some people as a lawyer. That I hate because
okay.
he has to
yeah.
in the government and we'll talk about and then we'll discuss like Supreme Court cases. It gets real nerdy at the Shulman House.
Yeah. Wow, but at least it's interesting.
It
what
is.
The hell?
Oh
you know?
Yeah.
It's better than just people talking about money all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like some families I know. But not mine, really. But but there are some families I know that only talk about money all
yeah.
the time.
No, it's a fun right. and it's fun to watch my parents and my in-laws get along too because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all are like, oh, you like the, okay, we're great. You know?
Yeah.
So
we're all
good.
Hillary people. Yeah, so yeah. That's fine.
He's like killing himself slowly. Poor Sam.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm under a dilemma because I don't believe in not voting.
Right.
And I can't vote for Hillary. And,
no.
and Trump is really pissing me
what
off.
What if you did a write-in?
So
could
know.
You write in? Who would you write in?
Really? Is
you,
that what it is?
Yeah,
like
you just write in who you want.
Oh, really?
Like D's Nuts got, remember that?
Yeah, I remember
Some
that.
Guy from like Utah or Ohio. He got like 9%. That dude. Yeah, you can write in. People write in Homer Simpson gets like 3% every year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But you can write in your favorite Republican.
Uh-huh.
Who would that be?
I don't know, man. I from all the candidates, I liked Rubio the most.
Yeah.
You know, he was the least controversial.
Yeah.
I think he was very coherent in what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, I mean, people chose to give it to friggin' Trump. I mean, I just don't understand. Maybe we deserve him. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if all these people are voting for
mm-hmm.
him, we friggin'
something's
deserve.
Wrong. There's a bumper sticker that says we shouldn't have any president. It's like, what does it say? 2016. We should take a year off and just get back to ourselves.
Yeah,
or
right.
Something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Find ourselves.
Find ourselves.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. It's odd, though, but that you would think that someone along the lines would have been like, maybe we shouldn't have Trump with no,
right.
It's like someone.
Well, a lot of people have, but it was
never
too
stuck.
Late.
Yeah.
It was too late.
Yeah.
They never should have allowed him in the Republican Party, you
no.
know?
I don't think he even wants to govern.
No.
A lot of people, like Michael Moore put out an article yesterday, which I'm sure you love, Michael
Moore.
Oh,
yeah, I love Michael Moore. But you know what? I did see the movie Fahrenheit when it was, like, about George Bush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
it's fascinating.
You know, yeah, that was a good movie. But back then, I was still under the...
So naive. Yeah. So naive. No, he wrote an article yesterday about specifically with reasons and backup evidence of why Trump actually is self-sabotaging because he doesn't want to actually have to do any work. And it's a great article. It's very interesting because he brings up like real backup points. But yeah, I can't see Trump being like, can't wait to get
That's
to work.
That's true, right?
Like, no. No.
Yeah.
Someone said they should make a reality show where it's, they build, I told you, that's a White House and just put Trump in and don't tell him and just say he's the president.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just film it and it's like.
Yeah, and put him in a Playboy mansion or something.
Just let him have his like toys.
Yeah, you know. We just sold for $100 million and apparently that's half of what Hef wanted.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's still the most expensive property in L.A.
It's it's had some whiskers on there. It had gotten a little old, that the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
There's a listeria outbreak in the jacuzzi grotto.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, you know.
It's not what it used to be, obviously. No. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think they got pretty conservative even, you know, in the past few years. It's not like they would have sex parties or anything, at least. Not that I know of, but then again, what do I know, right?
Right.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, Hef is a fascinating
person. Oh, he's fast. And you know his favorite hobby, other than banging great chicks, is scrapbooking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like a major scrapbooker.
Really?
And I find that pretty cool. He has like a whole storage container of scrapbooks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Didn't know.
Like you sort of like document your life and stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
And he like cuts stuff out and then he does it in his little robe.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the funny thing was that I read a couple books by former bunnies just to know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's not as glamorous as he would make you believe, you know.
It's hard work.
And he's 90 years old. I mean, you know. I think for him, it's just enough to look at the beautiful women. I don't think he needs any action.
No.
I mean, 90, for crying out loud.
Good for him, though.
Yeah, he'd have to take 10 Viagras, and maybe that still wouldn't help. I don't know. But then again, maybe, you know, I don't know. I've never been 90, so I don't
know. There you go.
But yeah, you know what scares me is reaching like the 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
And then people are afraid of you.
I know. 70 is when you start being called old. Like my dad's about to turn 70 and he's like, oh my God, like am I now that 70-year-old man?
Right, exactly.
But I think 70 is like the new 60.
Yeah, well, you don't know. Wait till you're 56 like me and then talk like that. Yeah. She's like in her 30s. It's easy for her to say.
Maybe 70. No, yeah. I know. It is a big number. That is a scary number.
Yeah. No, I mean, even in your 50s is a scary number. But I was talking to this woman yesterday who was about 52. We met through an app.
Is this Bumble? And is this from Bumble?
Yeah, that's from
All
Bumble.
All right.
And so we were talking, and what were we talking about? I mean, it was, what was the point? God damn it.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, and
this
I didn't get high today
oh,
either.
Oh, man, come
so
on.
So I don't know
now.
What the hell's going on, you know?
Too much Viagra.
Yeah. But no.
Does to the brain.
No, but she was saying how when she goes on dating sites, she gets like 70-year-old men,
oh,
you know?
Oh, interesting.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, when we talk about 70-year-old people, we're talking about people we don't really want to be
it's
with.
Interesting, yeah. There's a little ageism in that. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can see why aging can be depressing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. When you say like, 70, you're never like, 70.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 78. I want a 50-year-old.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, my God, you know? And that's considered a young woman.
But my parents are both turning 70, and they're both so young. And they he's like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, but they're not looking to date, you see. It's a whole different ballgame.
That's true. That's very true. Is there a way? I'm sure there's an app for elderly. That doesn't sound sexy.
There is. Yeah, I think it's called... There's a website I see advertised on TV. It's called In Our Time or something
like
that.
Okay, that's a little sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have made that a little peppier. Sounds like a funeral. MayweRest.com.
Yeah, right?
You need something a little peppier, like...
Yeah.
Like spicy. Spicy antiques or something. That's not good. Something better.
All right, well, we're going to get to our guest. I just wanted to... bring the bad news for everybody that Justin Bieber quit Instagram.
No.
What the hell are we going to do now?
He couldn't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Exactly. You know, what am I going to do now without his feed?
Oh my God.
On my phone.
His Instagram was particularly terrible. I'm going to get a lot of believers hating me. No, only because it was like he would take five of him, like, half in focus and a little out of frame.
Uh-huh.
Like, at least they weren't very, like, good pictures. Right. And then he takes six in a row, and I'm like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know, man,
but the internet made him, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, he made it. You know, he went up to Usher in a parking lot when he was very young and said, you have to listen to me to play drums.
Really?
And Usher's like, okay. And then Usher's the one that basically invented
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
But that guy is...
Because I thought he started on YouTube or something.
No, I mean, he put his drumming on YouTube.
Okay.
But that he is a... I mean, he worked for that. He approached Usher as a young kid, and he was a phenom drummer at like 2 or 3.
Wow.
Very good drummer. You should watch that movie, Never Say Never. It's actually quite good.
Is that about him?
Yeah, and it's... If you have an edible or something, it'll be good because it shows this like prodigy kid, and you realize he has quite an enormous amount of talent.
Really?
But then he turned into this like hair-swinging kind of douche. No, I do like some songs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know, I don't even know one of his songs, but, you know, what do I know? Anyway, so much for me in popular culture, you know.
Pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture, whatever. All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest now who's sitting here patiently and probably dying to add to the conversation. And we're joined by Magena Tova. Welcome to the show, Magena.
Hi,
get close to the mic so we can hear you.
Okay, how's this?
Yeah, you don't have to push the table, but just kind of lean in. You can just lean in a little bit.
Okay.
That's okay. She's so nice, you know. I mean,
she's the sweetest.
Yeah. What is it with people from England, you know? You're from England, right?
No.
No. What the
hell
am I talking about?
She's from Honolulu.
People think I'm foreign all the time.
Is that
no,
true?
You know why? So I assumed. Okay, I assumed. I'll tell you why. Because your publicist is British. And she said this all British people. Like yesterday, the actress Afsane was English too. So it's not from talking to you, it's just from assuming.
That's assuming.
That's right. Yeah, there you
go. She's from Hawaii, this one.
Really?
I was born in Hawaii. My parents were in the Army, and I was born at the Triple Army Medical Center.
Wow. Really?
Honolulu, yeah.
Both your parents were in the Army?
Yeah.
Wow. My dad was a Green Beret psychiatrist.
Oh, whoa. My God, you know so much.
Yeah, I know.
Stalker.
Yeah.
My mom was a physical therapist. She was one of the first women that the Army trained to become physical therapists.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
How cool.
I don't think that's what they do. They hoot.
I'm not familiar with how they do. I've never been in the Army. So.
Well, you see, she's done a reading. She knows about you.
I did my job.
And I didn't, and I assume you're British, right? No, but we know you started and creator of a film called Hux.
That's
and
right.
we'll obviously talk about the movie and everything, but let's find out a little bit about you.
Okay.
So you guys were traveling around when you were young, or were you just in Hawaii?
Only a couple places. We lived in Hawaii for a few years, and then we moved to D.C., and then we ended up on a little farm in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Really?
Because they were stationed at Fort Campbell, so right across the border was this little farm. It was like 7.5 acres. And
wow, and you guys stayed there?
Yeah, until I was about 12 years old, and then we moved up to Nashville. But
cool.
It was probably the coolest place to grow up in ever.
I picture bluebirds getting you your robe and like the goats coming to the window.
It was kind of like that. Wow. It was pretty wonderful. Like we would, my sister and I would take naps on our horses as we rode bareback.
Oh my God.
My dad and my brother and I, we would fill up the saddlebags with sandwiches and our canteens with water, and we'd just go trek off with our horses.
Cool.
It was really awesome.
Bucolic.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like growing up in Hawaii?
Well, I lived there only until I was about 3.
Oh, so you don't remember much.
I don't think that was really fair. We left so early.
Right. Yeah, I know. But you've been back, right?
One time, and only to Kauai, which was beautiful.
Kauai is beautiful.
You kind of feel like, how could anyone be angry here ever?
Right.
Yeah. Off the
right?
plane, it's just so...
That's true. Even I went to Maui, and I was like, it was my honeymoon, and my husband and I started getting a little fight, but then we were like, look at that sunset. I was like, you can't get mad.
It's warm and
like
perfectly
beautiful.
Humid and
just
like windy
humid enough.
And like, oh, it's
pretty
great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Kauai is definitely, I think, the most beautiful island, if you know. But if you guys want and just want to be with the tourists and the action, you go to Honolulu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And Maui is somewhere in between.
Maui's a little sleepier.
Right.
Okay, well, Kauai. Why am I saying I was like Kauai? Kauai is very jungle, outdoor, right. Yeah. Beautiful greenery, lush.
That trail, I think Nepali trail that you go to the center of the island. Like I hiked that, and you know there are people that live just off the land there, and so we were hiking along, and all of a sudden this dude with like dreadlocks and seriously a loincloth flitted out onto the trail, hiked a little bit, and then flitted back barefoot. It was so weird.
No, he was not real. That was a total
I know. It's just a weird heat dream or something.
Like, are you seeing this loincloth guy? No.
A loincloth, like seriously.
Probably walked off a movie set or something.
Yeah,
right. You know?
That's true. He is. That's very...
They did film Jurassic Park there and Lost.
And Lost. Also. Every time I think of Hawaii, I think of Lost.
Yeah. Right.
Jack, we got to go back. We got to go back.
So, yeah. So, I've been to Hawaii several times, but I haven't been in a while, and I'm dying to go.
Me too.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where my next vacation will be.
Yeah.
I like it because it's still the United States, you know,
and it's not that far from LA. It's
exactly.
Not crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty reasonable
little jot.
Yeah,
jog.
Well, not quiet. I mean, it's like flying to the East Coast.
Is it?
Know?
Is it like 4?
Like 5 hours.
Okay, never mind.
But I mean, New York close. Or Hawaii.
Right. Yeah, I would rather
exactly.
Hawaii. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those two, right? Which one should I go? Well, but New York has got its place. I mean,
it does.
We always talk about it. New York is amazing and stuff.
But my mom's side of the family is from there. So
oh, really?
I spend a lot of time in Queens and Long Island.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I took a film production thing through NYU there for a summer. Like,
oh, nice.
At 19, I was living on Washington Square Park
God.
With these people who were mostly all at least 30 or older from all over the world, and we were making films together.
That's amazing.
It was one of the best summers ever in my life.
Wow.
Amazing. Washington Square Park.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Very cool. A lot of opportunities in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? A lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you want to relax, you don't go to New York.
No.
You definitely do not. So... yeah, so Hawaii sounds interesting. So did your parents meet in the military? I mean,
that's how
they both were in it.
Yeah, they met in the military. They ended up getting married in Korea. They were both stationed in Korea.
Really?
So cute.
And it was like, you know, they were going to end up being transferred again. So they just were like, okay, we better get married.
Yeah, exactly. And we can move together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So they met in Korea and then they moved to Hawaii? Is that what happened?
They met in Korea. Then I think they moved to North Carolina. And then I think to Hawaii was they went all over. Both of them were all kind of all over the U.S. and then Korea. I don't think they went anywhere other than Korea as far as like foreign countries.
But, right.
What's it like having a dad being a Green Beret psychiatrist? Dad, like that's so. Was he like very stern? Was he not stern?
He was. It was. You know, he was kind of a hippie.
Cool.
And, you know, and especially, you know, neither of my parents had a lot of experience with farms, and suddenly they decided to get a farm and a bunch of animals. Exactly. And then they had 4 kids. I have 3 siblings. And it was great. I never heard any of these stories of his from the army, and then just recently in the last couple of years suddenly I hear these stories. Like, he was like, yeah, during training he trained with the Navy SEALs.
Sure.
He's like, we jumped out of planes into the ocean, scuba dived down to a submarine where they let the water out, and then they let the water back, and as you're standing there and the water's coming up and it's
you have
crazy,
to be yeah special ops is some heavy duty. So he went through that stuff.
Yeah,
wow.
He did. And like some of the things he did in like Korea, you know, there was this woman who was giving birth and they had to take him in the plane, and it was a breach, like 2-foot breach birth, and he had to hold the baby in, and this
wow.
is just like, Dad, really? Like, crazy. Yeah.
I like woke up and had some coffee. Like, that's my day. That's amazing.
Yeah. But actually, like, having a psychiatrist dad has been really amazing for being, especially as an actor, you know, and I get a lot of really weird roles. So
really?
I can call him up and be like, so Dad, tell me about paranoid schizophrenia. Or like, you know, and my film that I wrote and directed and produced and edited, and it's about a woman with autism. And my parents, and my sister's now a psychiatrist too, and my mom is a pediatric physical therapist. So they had a lot of experience with autism, and they sort of were amazing sounding boards for the whole process. You know.
And what drew you to that topic? I mean, were you dealing with it in real life with people?
Well, growing up, my parents talked about stuff that was going on in their work and stuff, and I just heard about it a lot. Sometimes I would go with my mom to her work, and you know, I'd meet some of her patients. She worked with a lot of kids with autism. It was actually, so when I was writing it and when I was like coming up with the story, I was talking to my mom and telling her these features that I felt like the main character had, these sort of things about her. And it was my mom who was like, oh, she has autism. And I went, you're right, she has autism. And then suddenly it just really informed her and the piece, and it sort of blossomed from there.
But
it
was she diagnosed your character.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She totally
cool.
did.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So you felt it's an important topic to cover. There's a lot of kids that are autistic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's being diagnosed more and more. Right. And, you know, and it's constantly being reevaluated.
It's so unknown. There's so many unknowns with autism.
And, you know, even, like, there were a couple times I'd have... there was this one character I auditioned for, didn't get, but auditioned for. It was a woman who had autism who also had these special powers, right? And I talked to my dad about it, and he was so intrigued by this idea because he's like, their brains are so different than ours are, and who knows what can happen.
It's almost like a superpower. Like Temple Grandin, which I love, she created like 70% of the cattle breeding farms, and she is autistic, functioning autistic. She can speak, but her mind thinks like a cow in certain ways, and she found she loved cows, and
so she relate really well.
Yeah, and she could see what they were seeing. So she has that was her superpower.
Yeah, I mean, she was able. It's funny. I read her all growing
me
up,
too.
and all of her sacks too. Did you? Yeah.
Yep.
And so she could. A lot of it's a common thing, I think, with people with autism that they are able to relate to animals a little easier because there's not so much information on the face, you know, and it's
more energy,
more straightforward, you know, and she's a meat eater, but she still believed, you know, she built those the cattle holding things in these circular ways so that animals she noticed that they felt calm like that, so she'd
eliminate shadows because she knew that the cows would be freaked out.
She's
so smart.
Whoa.
And
she's
where the hooves would go, she thought about the hooves.
Wow.
Very smart.
Wow. You're not supposed to know these things. You're supposed to tell us.
Smart lady.
No, Temple Grandin,
on this show, we do no research, but she doesn't know that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Is one of these my water here?
This one probably, yeah.
Yeah. See, I know I left it over there. I'm reaching for my water, and it's not here, and we have way too many bottles on the table. Yeah. So, that's very cool. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I mean, I'm totally going on a tangent here, but I just remembered that you saw there were like chains here, right?
Yes.
And these people.
I was assuming some sex thing.
Not weird at all to walk into a room with chains.
But this was a show. It's called Ghost Line, and they do it every Tuesday at night. And then suddenly last night we were having the weirdest problems here. All over the place with each show, and problems that we were never having from one to the other. And then suddenly there was like a quick, like, they said it sounded like a gunshot to them in the headphones. But the light sort of like went out and came back on or something. And I started telling them, I said, you guys are raising ghosts here, you know?
They had some
you
got to
be careful.
Yes.
Probably, you know, or I don't know if it was the guests, but... There was something going on.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, stage this place.
I don't believe in this thing. Yeah, I know, but man, how do you explain that? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But so I went on a tangent here. So let's go back to this. Yeah, but but no, because I was just thinking about ghosts and stuff. I don't know why, but we have a couple shows on ghosts. Actually, people are fascinated by this stuff. You know?
Oh yeah. I'm always like, just get it on camera once.
Right?
Just one time.
Yeah.
Please. And I know people are going to say they do. But like a clear shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So so you described you have siblings, right?
I do, yeah.
What do you have? Old brothers, old sisters, mixed?
I have two brothers and a sister. I'm the second. I have an older brother and then a younger sister and then a younger brother.
Oh, so you're the second?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is your is there a big gap between you guys?
No, we're pretty close. It's about a year and a half between my brother, older brother and I, and then 3 years between my sister and me, and then about 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're all together. You grew up together.
Yeah. And they're pretty awesome. I really love talking about my sister.
Wow. That's cool.
Are there any actors or anything?
I always thought everybody sort of was sciencey and arty, because my family, they're all like my dad. Okay, so my dad is this Green Beret Army dude who, as a kid, I watched him play the father in My Fair Lady at like the local community theater, and like, you know, they all just have this other side. And all my siblings sort of went the other way, but like my sister, she was pre-med and a theater major.
Interesting.
And then she went into theater, I mean into medicine. So they're really cool. My older brother, he just made a huge splash in the news in Nashville, Tennessee, where he lives, because he coached this team at a really underprivileged school, most kids below the poverty line. And they got to the nationals on the chess team.
Wow.
He's amazing. My sister is she's a child psychiatrist, adult psychiatrist, and pediatrics. She's triple board.
So you're all psychiatrists. It sort of turned out. Yeah,
I could play one on TV.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, so you guys have a lot of insight into people and things like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I feel really lucky that I get to talk to them about these things. You know, in creating characters, who better
it's
to
the
sort
best.
Of, you know, right?
Definitely like, the best. Yeah.
It's really nice. And also, you know, as an actor, I always sort of saw acting as sort of starting your own business, right? Mm-hmm. Being a small business owner. And my older brother, before he was coaching chess, he had this computer consultation company he started. My little brother, he's really cool. He went to college when he was 14.
Wow.
And he got his PhD from Berkeley in physics.
Wow.
And he was Gabrielle Giffords, the...
Of course.
Yeah, he was her science policy advisor.
Wow.
And now, and all during that, he was in a rock band that I would make his outfits for. I would make like these floor-length fur vests. Yeah. You know, very rock star.
What a cool family to be in, right?
Wes Anderson family. It's cool.
Yeah, it's all like... it's so different from any other families, you know. It's like, all they have is fights.
And they were on a farm the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're weird. And in fact, my the little girl that's in my film Hux is my niece. She was 4 years old.
Oh,
they came out from Ohio to do it. I don't even think she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
She calls me Maggie, and she was like, "I'm doing Maggie's thing." And then it's like we get on set, and I'm like trying. I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to damage her. Like, how do I talk to her? That like, how do I let her know that her family's missing?" Like, and she was just like, da da da. I'm like, just don't look at the camera. And she was amazing. She's like, she started drama classes, and my brother was like, "Are you ready for this?" And she's like, "That's what I was born to do."
Wow.
I'm like, okay, here we go.
Another one.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're talking to Magena Tova. She's star and creator of the movie Hux, and we're going to talk about that. So you did everything for this film? I mean, you wrote it, you produced it.
I did a lot of stuff. Wow. I did a Kickstarter for it. I wrote it, and then I did a Kickstarter for it, which, thank God, was successful.
Wow, that's very hard to do.
It is really hard.
Right?
And I had to learn a lot that I never intended to learn just in this process, because a lot of times, like, there's no one else to do it, so you have to do it.
Yeah,
you have to learn
that's
how
the
to
best
do
way
it.
To do it, isn't it?
It is. It's horrifying and scary and, like, intimidating, but, I'm not somebody who had ever asked people for money on a grand scale. And
isn't that so comfortable?
Oh, it's just the worst.
But I
knew I had to do it. There was this weird thing about this film that, like, there were times when it sort of felt like it was pulling me along. Like, that maybe sounds kind of cheesy, but it was just, it was this idea that just felt like it had to happen, and it was just going, and I had to keep up, kind of. And so I was like, and I felt like, you know, it hopefully would do something good in the world, you know. It hopefully shine a light on autism and what it's like to have autism and to be on the spectrum. And so I just sort of, I knew I had to do it, so I did it.
Wow.
So I did
it. That's how people find passion, you know, and meaning in their lives. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you feel like, yeah. I know. I had things I had to do, also do, like start a radio station with porn stars and stuff.
I just had to do it.
Nice. Yeah, it was great while it lasted, but I couldn't work with these people, man. They wouldn't show up, they'd be late and everything. But no, I mean, because I wanted to start with video and I had good visions of how I want everything to be like it does now. You know, you've seen our video. And so I felt I had to do it. Yeah. I have to show people that I can do a nice look to a radio show and everything, you know, and all this. And like I said, it was great, but I couldn't work with people like that. So I closed that down. But yeah, but there's things you have to do. Sometimes, I mean, this is obviously different from a porn star radio
station. So similar.
Just so similar. I mean, pretty close.
But so tell us a little bit about the plot of the film.
Okay, so it's about this woman who has autism, who has recently moved out to her grandfather's little cabin that he's passed, and she now lives out there. It's in the middle of nowhere where it sort of is, she's away from the overwhelming stimuli of like city environments, and she's gonna try and make it on her own.
Wow.
It's something she feels like she has to do, but it's very hard for her. And so
how old is she in the film?
People see her as all different ages. It's
really?
Been included because we've done a lot of festivals, and it's been included in like the youth sort of themes in a couple different Edinburgh Film Festival was in their youth theme, and I think it was Macon or one of the other ones. I think the reason people see her that way is that I think it kind of connects to that point where you could be any age, but where you go, okay, now I have to find my own way. Now I have to get my crap together, get myself going, and do it on my own. If I'm ever going to do it, this is the time.
It's like you with the movie.
Well, exactly. It really is. I mean, it really is. It's like, and it's really, I think, a universal thing that, you know, people at all different ages sort of hit this moment at some point and they go, okay, now there has to be a change in my life.
Yeah.
And how am I going to do this? And it can be so scary, intimidating, like learning. I mean, my editor, I had an editor and they dropped out. And so I was like, okay, well, I can't afford an editor. So now I'm going to go buy a Final Cut and I'm going to edit it myself. And it's like, but the idea of like having to learn a new skill like that at, you know, not in college anymore, it was intimidating, but you know, like when you feel like you have to do it and you have to move on to that next level, I feel like. So, I think it kind of is something you fight, maybe face even more than once in life, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I graduated from college, I remember the guy who was talking, I don't remember who it was, but talked about how our generation would have multiple careers, like, you know, and I think it's right. Like, a lot of people have to keep sort of reinventing themselves these days and finding the new thing. And so this is, you know, this is her reinventing herself, and it's very hard. I mean, like, she has a real difficult, I think she's an intelligent person who just has this real difficulty understanding social interaction, you know, and so we see her practicing these social scripts, you know, that tell her how to interact, and she practices them and then tries and then is thwarted and then just keeps trying, and then eventually we see that it's sort of the end of the world has happened, and now who is she in this new world? Who can she be? Can these things that were detriments in the past, you know, now be attributes? And you know, I feel like it kind of how she can become the best person she can be, no matter what the circumstances, and how she can sort of become an adult no matter what her age is. Do you know what I mean?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Really
no,
cool.
Does she have family in the movie as well? Do they appear there at all, or is she on her own completely?
She's on her own completely, but we see her flashback to her grandfather, who was played by Harry Dean Stanton, who you may remember from a million things, Aliens, Big Love.
Wow.
He plays her grandfather, probably he was on the spectrum as well. They bonded, and he helped her he gave her the tools to sort of calm herself when she's starting to stim, or when she's starting to, you know, head toward a meltdown, or when she's having to face, you know, being social and these scary things for her. he's given her these tools to calm herself, which she uses, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, and but she keeps trying them. And so we see this beautiful connection between them, even though he's now passed.
Right. Wow, sounds like a very emotional film, huh?
It is.
Tearjerker.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a sweet film, and I hope it means a lot. You know, I hope it connects to all different people, and I really hope that it's, and I think it has. I mean, I've been getting really lovely feedback at festivals and stuff from people who have family members who have autism.
Someone knows someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone knows someone, and I know people on the spectrum, and it's like everyone has trouble in certain social, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm like the most social person, but I get very anxious going into a party, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's like everyone has something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You can all relate to that.
There's always a time when you haven't felt right. You don't know what's going on exactly.
Yes.
You're not in the you don't feel like you're vibing or you're in it. And I think that's, you know, that's what she wants so badly is to connect with other people. And she's held back by, this real inability to, to interpret facial expressions, to follow a plan, you know, when other things are, you know, one of the first things we see is she goes into this general store where she's going to now try to, you know, be social. She's going to have an interaction. And as soon as she walks in, we hear the buzzing of the lights. There's colors and people talking, yeah. And it's so overwhelming for her. And something is just so difficult for her to push through. So I hope it gives, you know, a little peek into what it might be like, and hopefully shine a light on, like, what, you know, people with autism have things that they do, stimming, you know, to help calm themselves, to... And, you know, there are people who say that we all also kind of stim, you know, like twirling our hair, mm-hmm. or tapping your foot, mm-hmm. when you're... And they can be sort of off-putting or sort of weird to see when you don't know what it is. But hopefully this sort of will help, shine a light on what that all means. And it's not people trying to be, you know, rude or weird or, intrusive or anything. It's them just dealing how they have to deal.
Right.
Temple Grandin used to put herself, or she still does, in that cow
squeeze chute.
That's right. The way she would stand was put herself in this little like the cow holder, and it would push on her, and it would calm her completely.
Yeah,
which is so interesting.
Because a lot of times people with autism have, all stimuli can be overwhelming in a lot of ways, and physical touch can be really overwhelming.
Wow.
And so, but then you miss out on that feeling of being held. So the squeeze chute kind of, you know...
Gave a hug almost.
Yeah, gave like a hug. And we actually see my character Hux in the film when she's really stressing out, when she's sort of melting down. She takes her grandfather's jacket.
Ah.
That is her squeeze chute.
That's her squeeze chute.
That's her squeeze chute.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. So the movie is Hux. It's a short film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't tackle a full feature as your first thing, right?
Well, this is what I could afford. This is what I thought I could get
through,
you know.
Yeah.
But they're actually, I'm already in pre-production. On
really?
The
you
feature.
Have a long version of it?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Is it Hux the same story, but longer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, because I think there's so much to explore, like especially about like somebody who, in this old world was so affected by society and by our societal structure and all of that. Now in a world that is, you know, very different, how does she do in that? And maybe she's better suited.
Yeah, because there's
for
less
it, you know?
Person-to-person interaction now, right? She might do better.
Yeah, there's less, you know, it could be the right kind of world for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Now, where can people see this? I would imagine you probably take this into the festival circuit and all that stuff, right? So how, I mean, does it have, I mean, where is it distributed? How can people see it?
Well, right now, because we're still in the film festival circuit, we can't distribute yet. We just actually on Sunday night played at the Holly Shorts Film Festival, mm-hmm. which is still going on, which is very fun.
Nice.
They also have an online festival, BitPix, where you can pay and watch the festival, but you can watch the shorts online. We have another really exciting festival coming up. I I can't announce it yet, but it's a good one.
It's a good one?
Yeah, it's a really good one coming up soon.
Why can't you announce it? Because people always say those things.
They haven't, right? It's not public yet.
Yeah, and I don't want to get kicked out.
Say it sounds like fun dance. There you go.
I would think a festival would be planned, though, you know, and people would know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, but it's not
so
still...
So it's still early
it's
stages.
It's still early, so... hopefully it'll keep going to festivals, and hopefully one near... there's also a lot of information if you... Huxfilm.com, H-U-X-F-I-L-M, and we're all over, like, social media and stuff, so everything, all the screenings are will
oh,
be on
great.
There.
Oh, great, okay. So yeah. Huxfilm.com, you guys can check it out. It also says here you're involved in Spider-Man.
Yeah, you're Ursula. I've been wanting to talk about this the whole time.
She's Ursula. She's Ursula.
The neighbor.
I was the neighbor?
The yeah. Tobey Maguire.
Really?
I remember this.
Did you see them?
I did, but that was some time ago, no?
I brought some chocolate cake to my neighbor. And that's what people do. They're like, oh, chocolate cake girl.
Yeah. You had the braids?
What yeah, I had braids.
Braids,
and,
yeah.
Well, I'll have to watch it
that's,
now.
That, here, I'll tell you a fun little story about how I got that if you want, because it's another sort of something you have to do. Right. Like, when they were casting this, I heard about it, and they were looking for someone tall and gawky, like a young Shelley Duvall. And I was like, oh, my God. That's me, man. I know it's me. And but I didn't have a good agent. My agent wasn't someone who could have made that happen at the time. So I didn't tell anyone what I was doing, and I dressed up like a messenger, and I had like a clipboard with old deliveries crossed off, and I went down to the lot, and it was after 9/11, so things were like really, you know, tight security, and I went down, and I'm like yawning, trying to like, I'm like, my heart's thudding, but I'm like, I do this all the time.
Yeah, right. I'm part of this place.
And I'm like, I was like, yeah, I'm from Candlelight Management. Totally made it up.
And they're
like, I know, but that sounds dramatic, right?
So good. Wow.
And they like were like, oh, well, you're not on the list, and I was like, well, I don't know. They said I had to be in by the end of the day, and I just kept annoying them. And finally, they called casting. Thank God, casting wasn't answering. Finally, they're like, "Whatever, just go."
What?
They let me
great
go.
Security.
I know. They're like, "What? Oh, you're too annoying."
There you go. A lesson in persistence.
Yes. And as I got to the casting guy, I gave him my manila envelope, which he seemed really friendly, but I was freaked, so I left quickly. And I heard him opening it as I was leaving, and I was like, "Oh my God, he's going to see delivery girls like delivering herself." Great. But weirdly, it turned out, like, the guy I'd given it to, he'd been the casting assistant on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I'd had, like, two lines on 2 years before.
That's
and
amazing.
I remembered you.
And he was like, bring her in.
Whoa.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how you do it.
Yes.
Or how you get arrested.
Yeah, both.
Just, yeah,
yes,
there you go.
But
if you want to get on Spider-Man, that's what you do.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It just... felt like I had to do it. That's why I didn't tell anyone, because I didn't want to get, you know, convinced not to.
Great job,
well,
though.
Yeah, thanks. What I would imagine for you that nothing would stand in your way at this point, right?
There's always that, like, oh my God, how is this going to happen? And then there's like, well, just start, you know, start listing what you have to do. Break it down into really tiny little things. Mm-hmm. Like how, like recently, there's all this post-production stuff. I've done all the post-production stuff. And so like now I got this email from this colorist. We're going back to the 4K footage. Panavision gave us this amazing camera.
Oh,
which,
wow.
And so at our next festival, we're hopefully going to project in 4K, which will be great.
Wow.
But we're going to recolor it. And oh my God, what was my point? Now you get it.
You did all the post production and the coloring.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks. Yeah. I got this email from the coloring person, and they're like, so the CTO to the LTM, and it's all letters. And I'm like, and I Google it, and nothing comes up. And I'm like, okay, this is some deep stuff. Like, and then I'm like, how do I get an MXF file into Final Cut Pro? And it's like, every time, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to do this.
No,
and
then it's struggle like, every it show, every move.
And then it's like, okay, just go back to breaking it down into tiny little, just see what, you know, keep reading the stuff until it makes sense. And so that's... It's not easy.
Well, kudos to you for doing
Agreed.
All this. I mean,
Thanks.
Yeah, you've handled a lot of this, the most of the movie, right?
Yeah.
How many people are in the cast?
There
Do you
just
remember?
Six people. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, that's a nice nice-sized cast
it's
for
really
short film.
And I got to work with Harry Dean Stanton, uh-huh. amazing. And then there's a cashier who has this lovely, weird interaction with Hux, who is played by Ben Messmer, and he's amazing. And then the sort of cowboy dude who she has a slight interaction with is Dylan Kennan, and they both, we went to school together. We did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival together. Wow. We have done so much theater, and then to be able to put them in, it's like when they walked on set, it was like, oh, I can relax. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to take care of everything. And then I have my little niece, Aurora Elise, and then there's a little girl who plays the young Hux, whose name is Logan Morris. And it was both their first films, so that was...
Well, Magena, congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
We're totally out of time. Magena Tova, you guys, spell it for people.
It's M-A-G-E-I-N-A and Tova, T-O-V-A-H. It's also my website is maganatova.com.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And it's cool to have a unique name, you know?
Because,
everybody mm-hmm. remembers it.
Yeah, I've gotten some weird pronunciations. Yeah.
Magena Tovina.
Yes.
But we already covered the fact that this is in Hebrew, right?
Or I don't think we did.
That was not on air.
Yeah. No, but off air.
Yeah,
before that and stuff. So you guys can look it up and research the
name. What does it mean again, you guys?
It means Magena is from Magen David or Star of David, like or shield of David. It means shield. And
so it's a good shield, a kind shield. Yeah.
I try.
I love it.
All right. Well, much more success to you, Magena.
Thank you so much.
You deserve all the best, really.
You guys are great.
And we'd love to be able to see the film. So go to HuxFilm.com and you can find out everything. You can get in touch with Magena.
And you can get a T-shirt. I'm wearing this Make Eye Contact T-shirt. It's from the film Make Eye Contact.
Oh, Make Eye Contact.
I was doing
so
that the
hard
whole
for
time.
Them to do,
yeah,
right?
And there's this little funny piece in the film where she's in her underwear and she's one of her signs is to remind herself to make eye contact.
Wow. Now, is this, but it doesn't mean that if somebody can't make eye contact, they're autistic, right?
No, I mean, there's so many things, you
right,
know,
exactly.
that affect us.
Because I know somebody, I mean, we had a guest here and she was here twice. She can't look you in the eye
when
she talks.
Yeah.
You know,
some people are just uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I don't know. But how could she like do so such big things?
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Stay tuned. As always, we're here every day. And Tori, have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.